Snow and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. What a day. What a day. We got a loaded show. Chris Sanders later today. Adam Vingan later today. Jason Fitz later today. We got more on the UT coaching search later today. We have got a ton to get into. By the way, I kind of feel like we haven't talked about the Titans in a couple of days. Tomorrow night, we'll have our Titans season preview show or off-season preview show. TD and I will be breaking that down. But it's funny. It feels like we haven't talked about the Titans this week. I mean, think about it. The Titans didn't play. All the Titan takes had to be put to the side because we had a complete meltdown once every couple of years, kind of like how there's an inauguration today. Once every 4 years, we have one of those. Once every 3 years, we have a Tennessee football coaching meltdown, and we had one of those. So I want to start with this, and it's on the big news today. Phillip Rivers announcing his retirement from the NFL. Phillip Rivers has played a long time. Phillip Rivers has been a thorn in the side of the Titans for a long, long time, and Phillip Rivers decided to hang it up, calling it quits today. I think everybody was kind of there, just like everybody's kind of there with Drew Brees right now. Now, again, I don't think Brees has officially come out and said that he's hanging it up. But like everybody's there, he's done. It's, there's nothing left in the tank. And with Rivers, it kind of felt that way. But as I was thinking about it today, let's take a look at the landscape of the AFC South. Now, there's a lot of things about the Titans, to kind of have questions about or wonder how they're going to fix in the offseason, or looking at the cap situation, wondering if they can fix it in the offseason. But now let's look at everybody else. The Indianapolis Colts don't have a quarterback. The Jacksonville Jaguars will have a rookie quarterback. And yes, I know he won some national championships in college, but a rookie coach and no real general manager. That's not very good for them. They're the worst team in the league. The Houston Texans might actually be in a worse spot than the Jacksonville Jags. They have no players. They're way over the cap. They're going to have to trade their all-time greatest franchise player in J.J. Watt. Oh, and their quarterback, Deshaun Watson, doesn't like the owner and wants to be traded. And he's got a no-trade clause, and he's got enough money in the bank to where he's got all the leverage so that he can do whatever he wants. And all they keep telling me, whether it's ESPN's insiders, Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen, Fox's insider, Jay Glazer, no matter who it is, they keep telling me Deshaun Watson is not coming back to the Texans. And once I hear from about seven people and they say it that definitively, I pretty much feel he ain't coming back to the Texans. They're a mess. Am I the only person that wakes up today and thinks that almost under any circumstances, the Tennessee Titans should not lose the AFC South in 2021? I know we've got a long offseason. I mean, we're not even in OTAs. We're not even past the draft. We're not even at free agency. We don't know who the Titans are going to go get in free agency this year. But don't you kind of think the Titans are on their way to winning the AFC South for a second straight year? How can they lose the AFC South this year? Indianapolis, good team, no quarterback. Now, they got cap space. Houston, quarterback doesn't want to be there, no cap space, bad team. Jacksonville, bad team, young quarterback, young coach. The Titans are the only team that have stability at the most important areas. Coach, they have stability. Quarterback, they have stability. Star player, they have stability. They should win the AFC South. The only way that they don't win the AFC South this year would be if Indianapolis, who has sat on that cap space like Warren Buffett, goes out and gets a quarterback. But how many star quarterbacks? Because that's what Indianapolis needs. If we learned anything over the past year, it's that a good quarterback who's not in his prime anymore, that's still decent but is not what he once was, that's not going to get it done for the Colts. They need a legit guy. Who's out there? Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, what can you get? if you're Indianapolis, is that's better than what you had. Now, they've got picks. Maybe they move up. Maybe they move up, take on a bad contract, flip first rounder so that they can get up even further. But then what? Take the kid out of BYU? Mac Jones? Kyle Trask? I don't see the path for Indianapolis today without Phillip Rivers. And I didn't really see the path that much with Phillip Rivers, but heck, you guys, you know, you and the Titans and the Colts had the same record. So I can't say that it's all that different. But with no Phillip Rivers in 2021, with no free agent quarterback out there that you can sign that you would say today, okay, that guy is going to be better than Rivers next year for Indy. Jameis Winston? A trade for Taysom Hill? Like, it's not out there. At least I don't think it's out there. Indy made the playoffs this year. They can't move up and take a quarterback that can play right away, or at least play right away that should beat the Titans. Again, we all know that the Titans have holes. They have holes on defense. They have two coordinator positions they have to fill. They're going to have to fill another wide receiver spot. They've never been able to fix their pass rush. And like everybody else, except for two of the teams in your division, Jacksonville and Indianapolis, the Titans are going to have to deal with the consequences of the cap going down. But that's still not as bad as having a rookie quarterback. That's still not as bad as your star quarterback doesn't want to be there anymore. That's also not as bad as the only guy that you had to play quarterback that fit in what you were trying to do. Well, guess what? He's retired. And the other thing about it, too, is I thought Rivers was okay this year. Just okay. Listen to Dominique Foxworth when the news broke this morning that Phillip Rivers was leaving Indianapolis. And listen to him talk about Rivers. Because so little of that talk is actually about how good he is right now.
Yeah, I played against him all the way back in college when he was at NC State, and he had that unorthodox, unusual throwing motion, but somehow it was always effective, and it was really nice to see his career end on a somewhat positive note. I know they lost, but he played well in that game throughout much of the season where he was up and down. So Phillip Rivers is obviously going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, even though he's never gotten to that Super Bowl, never won a Super Bowl, or never even played in the Super Bowl. But throughout all this time, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league and had a tremendous career. So it's going to be incredibly interesting if someone has a camera on him while he's coaching high school football, because he is an animated guy who doesn't curse, so you don't have to worry about that. But he is an animated, intense competitor, and it's going to be funny watching him trying to influence a game when he has no other influence after the opening kickoff.
Dadgummit, Phillip Rivers. But I'm not sure there's anybody out there that's better. By the way, did you notice Dominique didn't really spend any time talking about how good he is now? Which is part of the reason why it's time for Phillip Rivers to pack it up and go. And there's a lot of people that would say, well, you know what would be a great plan? Indianapolis has all this cap space. They've got picks. Houston has a quarterback who's going to cost a little bit of money. Why don't they just make the change? Why don't they make the trade? Why does Indy not mortgage everything they have, knowing deep down inside their roster with a Deshaun Watson is good enough to compete for the Super Bowl? And the truth is because teams don't trade like that in the division normally. They just don't do it. So while Miami may be able to get Deshaun Watson, or New England may be able to get Deshaun Watson, or the Jets may be able to get Deshaun Watson, or an NFC team might be able to get Deshaun Watson, you're looking at Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, Jameis Winston, draft pick, Mac Jones. Like, what's Indianapolis looking at? There is no reason in 2021, as of right now, on January 20th, there is no reason that the Titans shouldn't win the division next year. Houston's such a mess, I don't think anyone has any idea who's going to coach that team. Deshaun Watson is telling people, because it's getting out, that he doesn't want to be there anymore. The Texans are bending over backwards, trying to see if hiring Eric Bieniemy from the Chiefs is going to be what keeps Deshaun Watson wanting to be there. The Texans, in theory, could hire a head coach to placate Watson, and that could not even be what makes him happy, and he still forces a trade out of there. It's a mess in Houston. and the Jags are the Jags. So even though they have to replace Corey Davis, even though they've got to find a way to bring back Dean Pease, which I'm not sure they're going to do, even though they've got to replace Arthur Smith, even though Derrick Henry's going to be a year older, even though they've got to fix the pass rush, which John Robinson has never been able to do since taking over as general manager, even though the Titans have to do all those things, Indy's got no quarterback. Jacksonville, as of right now, has no quarterback. And Houston's quarterback doesn't want to be there. The AFC South in 2021 should belong to the Titans. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Your thoughts. Again, the news today, Phillip Rivers is retiring. Deshaun Watson still hates the Texans. And we pretty much know the direction Jacksonville's going in. And Jacksonville might be good, just not this year. So what's that mean for the Titans in 2021? 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. One Titan we may be underselling. We'll get to that coming up next. Another Titan scenario makes you think, hey, how can this not be their year? Plus, what the betting odds are saying about Phillip Rivers' replacement in Indianapolis. And do any of these names scare you? We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. We're live from the wholesaling studio. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. And, of course, we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
He will always be remembered, I think, in a number of ways. One of them as a member of the legendary 2004 quarterback class. Yes, he was the second quarterback taken in that class, actually drafted by the Giants and then traded on the day of the draft for Eli Manning. But Eli was in that draft and Ben Roethlisberger in that draft. Now Ben, the only one left. D. Wood, what would you say about Phillip Rivers as a player?
Oh, man. I have so much. I always respected Phillip Rivers from afar, just the energy. One of the toughest competitors that we've seen come into the National Football League at the quarterback position. He's all, you know, like Dominique said, was always animated. And, you know, this was a guy that, you know, he would throw an interception and he would just keep slinging it. No question. He wouldn't back down from anyone. And he's had a tremendous career over, you know, playing with the San Diego Chargers and ultimately ending with the Indianapolis Colts. And like I said, I respect his career so much, man, because of the energy he brought to the field each and every game. So my hat, you know, I tip my hat to Phillip Rivers, tremendous career.
Phillip Rivers is out. And so is Indianapolis in terms of need for a quarterback. Stillman & Company delivered by TriStar Moving. I think the Titans should win the division next year. And, yes, there are a lot of questions to answer. Nate texts into the text line, which is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate says, I don't think the Titans are winning the AFC South or that it is that cut and dry. They don't have any offensive or defensive coordinators. And we saw what happened this past year when you don't have a coordinator. Yes, they will get coordinators, but who knows who they will be. And I would agree. I mean, if you put the Titans into any other division, I mean, it's conference championship weekend. A year ago yesterday, Floyd, Chase, and I were at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City getting ready to, you know, watch the AFC championship game up from the press box. That's how long, you know, how long 1 year is. And here I am talking about next year winning the division. Yes, I have no idea what Vrabel's going to do at coordinators. I have no feel. I have no positive or negative feel about what he's going to do at coordinators. I'm worried there's a chance that he just makes Shane Bowen the defensive coordinator and Vrabel kind of puts it on this sense of, last year wasn't about the coordinator, and that he hires some offensive coordinator that we've never heard of or some guy that's already there. I don't know. And in almost any other division, I would say, yeah, you're going to have to get that figured out, especially knowing that the Titans are going to have the hardest schedule in the AFC South because they won the division last year. But while we can talk about the Titans not having coordinators, the Texans don't have a coach. The Colts don't have a quarterback. And the Jags are going to have a coach and a quarterback who have never played an NFL game or coached an NFL game. You know, Urban Meyer has literally coached as many seconds in the NFL as I have. Think about that. Zero pro experience. And so this just looks like a complete rebuilding year for everybody in the South except for you, unless Indy gets a quarterback, which is the number one thing that we're going to have to now watch for. is they've got all the cap space in the world. Chris Ballard is not going to sit with this roster where he's got two good running backs. He's got okay wide receivers. I mean, if he's going to improve anything, that's it. A really good offensive line, a really good defensive line. He's not sitting back and saying, well, let's draft Mac Jones in the second round and just like, hey, you know, let's try to win nine games. No way. Absolutely not. He is going to try to get a quarterback. If he was in the situation last year, which he was, it'd be a lot easier. This was a time where Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, all of those guys were out there and were available. This year, who knows who's going to be available? Marcus, for example, who's, I think after his one-game performance against the Chargers, Marcus might get the opportunity. Marcus signed a two-year deal with the Raiders. Cam's a free agent, but how much would you worry about Cam Newton being the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts? So right now, we've got the odds on who the next quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts is going to be. And this comes from Bet Online. And so the number one person, according to Bet Online, the number one person most likely to be the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts is Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett, remember, Indy tried him as their starting quarterback 4 years ago. Didn't really work out. Now, that was a pinch. They traded for him right before the start of the year because they knew that they were without Andrew Luck, and Brissett was okay. But the second they got Andrew Luck back, it was like, thank God Andrew's back. Jacoby, go sit on the bench. Then Andrew Luck abruptly retires. Jacoby Brissett put into the same situation, and he does okay, but they knew they got to go ahead and they got to move over. They got to move him back to the bench so they can go get Phillip Rivers. And now the most likely candidate, according to BetAG, is that same guy, Jacoby Brissett, who probably isn't much better than he was before. That's the most likely candidate to be their quarterback next year. You cannot win a Super Bowl. You cannot get to the playoffs with Jacoby Brissett as your starting quarterback. The second most likely candidate to be the quarterback, according to BetAG or Bet Online, is
number two,
Carson Wentz. Now his odds are 7-2, and none of these odds are great. Brissett's 3-1. Carson Wentz is 7-2. Anybody feel good about Carson Wentz? Let me be real about Carson Wentz. I'm not a quarterback evaluator. But I do read all the stories that were around and guys on the team questioning his leadership before it became a big topic. And now the coach gets fired so that they can probably try to salvage the relationship with Wentz. The GM, and we know how noncommittal Floyd would get about things. The GM, in the 5 years we were together, never really just said flat out, I hate this quarterback. But the two guys he consistently told me he never liked, Joe Flacco and Carson Wentz. And I will never forget, it was during a break one time, we're just sitting there watching something, you know, NFL Network was always on, and he just goes, the more I watch Wentz, the more I don't like him. And that was before Wentz bombed in Philadelphia. And they'd say, well, it worked with Frank Reich, and he had a great second year, and it, okay, well, you try that, you do that. Remember, Nick Foles was going to come in there, and Nick Foles was going to be the guy because Jacksonville had brought in John DeFilippo to be offensive coordinator. Doesn't necessarily work like that. By the way, Foles is on this list at 20-1. I wouldn't rule him out. Then again, if Foles is in the division, I'm not that worried about it. Third most likely to be the quarterback.
Number three.
Matthew Stafford, and this is the one you have to worry about. New coach, new general manager in Detroit. Stafford, if I were Stafford, I'd want to get out of Detroit. Like, you've done enough. You've had enough coaches. You've had enough opportunities. You've had enough Calvin Johnson. You know what your ceiling is in Detroit. If I was Stafford, I'd want to get out of there to see if my ceiling can be better somewhere else. And Indianapolis makes sense. And that would be, of all the guys, they've got Stafford as the third most likely guy at 9-2. Stafford's the guy I worry about the most. Because Stafford's never been able to stay healthy. He has played through so many injuries in his years in Detroit. And They've got an offensive line in Indianapolis. On top of it, Stafford has always played for an incompetent organization in the Detroit Lions. Indianapolis, Frank Reich. Now, Frank Reich goes for it on fourth down more than I can stand. But Chris Ballard and Frank Reich are not incompetent. In fact, I'd say that they're very smart. And that's why Stafford, you know, Stafford would worry me because we know he has the talent. You keep him healthy. You give him a defense. You put him in an organization that knows how to win. That could be a problem. He's third on the list. Number four. Andy Dalton's 5-1. And I really, really, really wanted to give Andy Dalton the benefit of the doubt that it was not his fault in Cincinnati, that Cincinnati is just such a bad organization that Andy and Marvin did the best they could, and he was the scapegoat for everything that's wrong with Cincinnati. And then he got his opportunity with the Cowboys. And yeah, the Cowboys had just an incredible rash of injuries this year, but that division was so bad that I felt like if you just had a decent starting quarterback, that would have been enough to put you over the top. That's why when Washington got Alex Smith back, they did take that division because he was competent. And once they had Alex Smith in there, everybody else on their team, who none of us had really heard of outside of Chase Young, all started to look a lot better. Gibson, the running back, looked pretty good. McLaurin, the wide receiver, looked pretty good. The Washington football team looked like a pretty decent team when Alex Smith was the quarterback. Andy didn't do that this year in Dallas. And you can blame Jerry, and you can blame Mike McCarthy, and you can blame their defense, and you can blame Zeke, and everybody shares in the blame. Andy's a backup quarterback. But that's what he is if he goes to Indianapolis. I don't fear him in Indy like I fear Matthew Stafford. And then the fifth option on the list for quarterback for the Colts.
Number five.
Jacob Eason is at 6-1. So they think it's more likely that Andy Dalton or Matthew Stafford is the quarterback. Jacob Eason. All I remember is as a freshman at Georgia, the kid had a rocket launcher. That's all I got for you. Everything else, he went to Washington. He did his thing. He went in the draft. He fell in the draft of the Colts. I don't think he played a snap this year. I'm not worried about it. If Jacob Eason is the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts in 2021, the Titans ought to win both games by 30 points. And that's, again, with all of the question marks that are surrounding the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get to your texts. But I wonder where Indy finds their next quarterback. I was surprised Jameis Winston is not higher on the list. It goes Jacob Eason, Brian Hoyer, any rookie quarterback, Chase Daniel, then Jameis Winston. And I'm a little surprised Jameis Winston wasn't higher because I don't think New Orleans is going with Jameis. If they were going to go with Jameis, they would have played him when Breeze got hurt this year. They didn't. So Jameis, Cam, Trubisky, Darnold, those names are all in theory out there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. One Titan player might be a lot tougher than we thought. We'll get to that. Then to your texts and your phones at 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. Hey, the season, the off-season preview show is coming up tomorrow. That's right. Teron Davenport and I will have the off-season preview show as we break down the upcoming offseason for the Titans. Tomorrow's show is brought to you by Corner Pub, Farm Bureau Health Plans, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, and by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. So get excited for that. Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, Mike, a lot of talk, obviously, about the season AJ had from a production standpoint, but today he went down with an injury, came back, played well. That's happened a lot this season where he's gone down and come back in games. What is his level of toughness like? I know you've brought that up, but his toughness of playing through these injuries.
He's either really tough or he just likes us all to go out there and, you know, pick him up off the ground and dust him off and send him back in there. I haven't figured out which one it is.
That was Mike Vrabel after the Texan game, and I think Vrabel had a pretty good idea which one it was. Yesterday, A.J. Brown jumped on Instagram Live and talked about his knee surgery. A.J. Brown had surgery on both knees. According to Emily Proud of News 2, he said, quote, "They told me I was done for the year in week two. I played all year. I made the Pro Bowl." Will Compton tweeted out, he would do, in reference to A.J. Brown, He would do walkthroughs in a wheelchair. His knees were so bad, at one point, they talked about pulling the plug. But death or surgery was never an option for A.J. Brown. Through guided meditation and prayer, he was able to somehow play on Sundays. One of the toughest men I know. Let me say this about A.J. Brown. I have been tough on A.J. Brown in the past. The idea of whether or not A.J. Brown is a number one wide receiver. He's your number one wide receiver, but is he ever going to be good enough to be a number one wide receiver like we're going to see this weekend with Hill in Kansas City or Evans in Tampa Bay or Diggs in Buffalo or obviously Devontae Adams, who might be the best wide receiver in the NFL? Is he really going to ever be at the level of those guys? And when you hear news like that, you think maybe he could be. That's some Eddie George or Steve McNair type stuff. A.J. Brown missed a lot of practice time this year. I mean, it felt like every Wednesday A.J. was not on the practice field. And yet, 1,000-yard season, tons of touchdowns, division-saving catch, and he got off at the beginning of the first play of the playoff game. And all of the things that I kept wondering throughout the course of the year, it felt like A.J. took a significant step forward. For example, last year in the playoffs, I didn't think A.J. physically was tough enough to go up with the physical and tough corners in the NFL. Some of the best corners that they have in the league, whether it was Marlon Humphrey, whether it was Marcus Peters, Stephon Gilmore, Marshawn Lattimore, he went up against all of them at the end of the year and didn't really do much. And I said, okay, this guy, you know, he is what he is, but can he beat those kind of guys? Did you see what he did to Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters at the beginning of that game against the Ravens? If Ryan Tannehill looks at him on that last ditch, the Khalif Raymond interception, he beats Marlon Humphrey. That's probably a touchdown if Tannehill hits it. So while this year the Titans didn't go forward as a team, and there's a lot of issues on defense, and there are some setbacks, one of the positives is A.J. Brown did all of that on two bad knees. A.J. Brown did that on two knees that they told him after the Denver game, A.J., you're going to have surgery. You're going to have to miss the season. He did all of that after that. That's, again, I will say this. This is, you know, this is like an award that you can put in your house if you're a Titans player. The Steve McNair, Eddie George playing through injury courage award, I think it belongs to A.J. Brown after having to have surgery on both knees, do walkthroughs in a wheelchair. Can you imagine what life was like for A.J. Brown when he got home or when he woke up on a Monday or a Tuesday? Oh, goodness. And I bet the training staff went through hours and hours of treatment and everything else just to get him to play, and somehow it worked. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Kevin texts into the text line and says, what if Indianapolis trades for Matt Ryan or Matthew Stafford? They could even draft a quarterback like Matt Jones and have a really good team. And a lot of quarterbacks can look good with a good roster and a good coaching staff. So I thought about this today, and I just said in the last segment that I believe Matthew Stafford is the number one guy you've got to worry about as far as Indianapolis going out and picking up a quarterback. He's the number one guy. And the reason he's the number one guy is because we've never seen him in an organization that is a run-first team, which with Jonathan Taylor, and if they re-sign Marlon Mack, they would be, a good offensive line, which he would have, and a good coach and a good GM. We just have never seen that. So I'm not saying Stafford in Indianapolis is a Super Bowl contender, but they probably are a division contender. But let's not pretend like Indianapolis is a perfect team. The one thing in the AFC about the teams that are not named Buffalo or Kansas City is that every other team was incredibly flawed in something. Cleveland, it was their defense after the defensive line. The linebackers and the secondary were atrocious. Tennessee, it was the defense and special teams. Baltimore, it was the passing game. Pittsburgh, it was everything. everybody had problems. And in the playoffs, they all get exposed. Indianapolis had problems just like everybody else. Now, they should have won their playoff game against the Buffalo Bills. They truly lost that game. I mean, it was handed to them on a platter and they lost it. But Indianapolis has problems in their secondary. Indianapolis needs help rushing the passer. Yes, Buckner is a great player, but they need edge rushing. And they need help at wide receiver. Pittman looks like a young, up-and-coming player, but T.Y.'s getting old. The rest of the guys are all just a bunch of regular free agents like Zach Pascal. They miss the Ebron-like tight end. They need pass catchers. They need DBs. They need pass rushers. If you trade a first-round pick to Detroit in order to get Matthew Stafford, well, now you're not fixing one of those holes. Then what would Stafford cost? And that's why they may be better off just going with Brissett and trying to make the good team as good as possible. So, yes, they could get Stafford, and that could be a problem. But again, if you get Stafford, you have to use something to acquire him. And if you do that, it might set you back a little bit. Texter says, Rivers retiring could benefit the Colts, considering that they weren't going to go far in the playoffs with an aging quarterback. A younger and more talented quarterback than what Rivers can offer at this point would be better for Indy in the long run. Sure. I don't disagree with that sentiment at all. Here's the thing about Indianapolis, though. If they do that with this team and this roster and this cap space, and they turn around and draft Mac Jones or they draft Kyle Trask and they put that guy right in there to start from day one, you run the risk of that guy not being any good, and two, it's going to probably take you about 2 or 3 years before you'd be ready to compete for a Super Bowl. And everybody else on that roster, DeForest Buckner, Quentin Nelson, Darius Leonard, Marlon Mack, Jonathan Taylor, T.Y. Hilton, those guys are ready to compete for the Super Bowl now. And that goes back to my whole theory, which is the Titans should win the AFC South next year simply because if Indy goes that route, to the texter's point, it might be better for them in the long run, but it's not better for them in the 2021 run. And that's really what I'm thinking about right now. The long-term window, Jacksonville is set up so beautifully. Now, I think they're going to screw it up because Urban Meyer doesn't have a clue and has never worked in the NFL before. But Jacksonville long-term right now is set up in the best position. They're going to draft Trevor Lawrence. They're going to have over $70 million in cap space. They're going to have all these draft picks. They are going to be loaded. Think about all the players they've traded away. Ngakoue, Calais Campbell, A.J. Boye. Think about all those guys. That's a lot of picks that they're going to have this upcoming season, which allows you to basically trade for any one particular player you want after Lawrence, and they're going to get him anyways. So they are loaded for the future. Now, again, I think Urban's going to screw it up. The Texans, even though they've got the franchise quarterback, he doesn't want to be there, they're in the biggest mess right now. Indianapolis, I think 5 years from now, projects better than the Titans. This upcoming season, when Derrick Henry's still in his prime, you're still in the window with Tannehill, you still have most of your core together. Now, they're going to have to get better, but I think the Titans certainly look to be a better team for next year than any of those three teams. And that's the whole point I'm trying to make. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will get back to your text. Plus, Arthur Smith had an interesting line yesterday in his press conference when he was introduced as the Falcons coach. And I want to get to that next, and we will. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving right here at ESPN 1025 The Game.
That's why that's what attracted me to this game. One, it gives it an identity. There's no sport like it. You talk about diversity and people and different backgrounds. I mean, look at professional football. It's different than any other pro sport, you know, and it let me see the world, and definitely it's a different light. And you had to go out there and prove it. It didn't matter if your dad was a CEO or you're from Pomona, California. You get on that football field, you got to go prove it. And that's what's always attracted to me. And that's what is a results-driven business. And I want to be judged by that.
That was Arthur Smith, the new head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. By the way, an interesting report. Ian, did you see the report that surfaced this weekend?
I'm not sure I did. Involving Arthur Smith?
Yes.
No, I did not.
Jason LaCanfora, CBS NFL insider, he published a report this weekend that said that Arthur Smith may look to bring Dean Pease on board his staff in Atlanta, which, of course, I will lose my mind if that happens. I mean, I will literally go just, literally, of all the things that would make me go nuclear on the show, Arthur Smith going to the Atlanta Falcons to work for Arthur Smith might be one of them.
That would be a...
might be the top thing.
That would be a good get for Art.
Now, I'm a little surprised that... Well, I shouldn't say this. I'm a little surprised nobody else has picked up on this. LaCanfora reported that Arthur Smith might be looking at Dean Pease, and not one other insider has reported any of that. Schefter, Mortensen, Glazer, Rappaport, Garofolo, not one of those guys.
Maybe that's why it kind of slipped by, because it was just kind of that one guy, LaCanfora.
Well, yeah.
So,
and don't we all kind of think LaCanfora is kind of a liar?
Usually.
Like, haven't we had enough of his reports to where we can look at him and say, you're not a credible source anymore? Now, I'm not one of these people who doesn't believe the media. I know that apparently in our society today, we have a lot of people out there who do not believe the media. But I'm not one of them. I do. I believe Rappaport. I believe Schefter. It's not so much exactly that I believe Adam Schefter. It's that I believe Adam Schefter is reporting what he's being told. Now, that doesn't always mean that he's telling the truth. So around draft time, it makes it a little tricky. Remember when they all shamed the Titans and Floyd was like, I don't believe any of that. Now, ultimately, he was right. But somebody was telling those guys the same thing. LaCanfora, not so much. He just kind of says stuff. And if I were CBS, I'd fire him because he's been wrong about so many things before that at some point you can't put a guy on television that is consistently wrong about everything. And I'm hoping, for the Titans' sake, that LaCanfora is wrong about this Dean Pease report. Now, remember, LaCanfora is in Baltimore, so there are some Dean Pease people there. But if Dean Pease comes back into the NFL, Dean Pease needs to come back to work for the Titans. Dean Pease needs to come back, and he needs to get his old job back, and he needs to get his old office back, and everybody in the building should treat him like he never left. And I would liken this to a player, which is, player leaves, we play the season without him, we realize how much we miss the player, player goes into free agency, we sign him back. That's happened a lot of times in every sport, where it's like, you know who this team misses? They miss that guy, and then that guy's a free agent, and that guy wants to come back, and that's what they should do. I was a little surprised. I saw this make some headlines yesterday, or some people were tweeting this or talking about this, what Arthur Smith said about Mike Vrabel. And when you just read what he says, it sounds a lot worse than it actually does, because Arthur Smith, the way it was being reported, was Arthur Smith said, hey, he's not Mike Vrabel. And some Titan fans were saying, see, Vrabel is so arrogant, Vrabel is so hard to work for, that in his first day on the job, Arthur Smith separated himself from Vrabel. Then I listened to what Arthur Smith said. Here's what he said. Take a listen.
You know, Mike Vrabel, he holds every player on that roster accountable. And there's a lot of great leadership lessons I learned from Mike. He was very flexible with things we did. I'll miss that relationship a lot. He had a huge impact on my career. But yeah, I mean, I'm not Mike Vrabel. You know, the same thing we'll tell our players. You got to be yourself.
So that's not bad at all. Plus, every coach says that. Remember when Vrabel got hired 4 years ago and he sat there and said, I'm not Bill Belichick. I'm not Urban Meyer. I'm not Bill Cowher. Now, there are a lot of things he does that are very Belichickian, but he's not Bill Belichick. So when I saw this thing of Arthur Smith says, I'm not Mike Vrabel, first day on the job, I think some Titan fans out there want to be mad at Vrabel for how bad the defense was this year, and you should be. I'm mad at Vrabel for how bad the defense was. But they want to be so mad that they pin it into this narrative that Vrabel is so arrogant, or that Dean Pease would want to go to Atlanta and not come back here because Vrabel is so obnoxious and hard to work for. And until I see somebody say that, I have a hard time getting behind the narrative. And yesterday, the narrative came up when Arthur Smith said, you just read the text of, I'm not Mike Vrabel. And then you listen to what he said, and you think, A, that's generic coach talk, and B, it's not a shot at Mike Vrabel. If anything, he's out there complimenting Mike Vrabel. And I bet there's going to be a lot of things from Mike Vrabel that you see Arthur Smith say or do. He's different, but if your options were to take things you learned from Mike Munchak or things you learned from Ken Whisenhunt or things you learned from even Mike Mularkey or Vrabel, you'd probably take most of them from Vrabel. Though don't underestimate the impact that Mike Mularkey's had on Arthur Smith or that Mike Mularkey had in getting Arthur Smith that job. Adam from Portland texts the text line and says, the Titans aren't winning anything with Vrabel calling the defense. Even Jacob Eason, if he becomes the quarterback of the Colts, would roast that defense with no pass rushers. So I think you're looking at this from two separate angles. There's the personnel side of it, which is the Titans have no pass rushers. They have nobody on their roster that you believe can get to the quarterback. And then there's the scheme. And those are two totally different things. Scheme versus personnel. When Ken Whisenhunt was the coach, he brought in Ray Horton. Ray Horton wanted to flip the 4-3 into a 3-4, and there was kind of a big fight. Because at one point, I think it was Derek Morgan blamed the scheme, and Ray Horton blamed the players. And it never goes over well when a coordinator blames the players. But ultimately, that's where we are with this Titans defense. If Vrabel does not go outside the box, and he does not go and add a defensive coordinator, then yes, Mike Vrabel is blaming the personnel. And I would agree that Mike Vrabel would be wrong because I think they both need work. But the idea of with Vrabel calling the defense, there's no way they can beat Jacob Eason. One, I don't believe that. And two, the lack of pass rushers, as the texter alludes to, is a personnel issue, not a scheme issue. And it will be very telling to see what Mike Vrabel does as far as the DC position is concerned, because if the DC position ends up being a promotion of Shane Bowen or Mike Vrabel taking it over and naming himself defensive coordinator, then I think we can talk about whether or not Vrabel is just completely arrogant and is full of himself and believes that he can do it when last year he couldn't. But the other argument that I will have is Vrabel's pointing the finger at John Robinson for not being able to get him good enough players on that side of the ball. Because if it's not the scheme, then it's the personnel. And if it's the personnel, then in theory, it's not the coach's fault. We'll see how Vrabel goes. Texture to the text line says that your station has been talking about Dean going with Arthur all week. And yes, and I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know if that's a Robbie and Rex Road or Darren Donick and Chase, or I don't know what they said. I don't know what they... But they're going off of the Lockhand Fora report. Nobody on the station, to the best of my knowledge, nobody on the station is reporting that Dean Pease is going to Atlanta to work for Arthur Smith. The only person who I've seen that is a credible person, and I use credible lightly here, but the only person I've seen who's of that ilk is Jason Lockhand Fora. And I do think that it's a big story and should be talked about. If Dean Pease chooses to go to Atlanta with Arthur Smith, he's not from Atlanta. I don't think he has any history in Atlanta. Other than Arthur, there's no tie to Atlanta. And so for him to go there would, in my opinion, be a big concern. Kevin says, please stop, Jared. Dean Pease can go wherever he wants. How about the Titans get Wade Phillips? First of all, I'm not saying that Dean Pease can't go wherever he wants. The fact that Dean would not want to come back here, if Dean wants to get back into the game and he doesn't come back here, it's obviously for one of two reasons. The first reason being that Dean doesn't want to come back here. The second reason being that they don't want Dean back here. And if either is the case, I have a problem with it. If Dean doesn't want to come back and work here where his home is and where the players he knows are, then that means he obviously didn't like it here. That's a problem. And the other issue, if they don't want Dean back, as Gentry Estes wrote in the Tennessean this weekend, which I vehemently disagree with, I mean, it was the entire column Gentry Estes wrote. And if Tennessee didn't fire their coach in the middle of the day, I would have gone bananas on this column. But it was almost as bad as some of those columns Joe Rexroad used to write for the Tennessean. And this column said that the Titans don't need Dean Pease. I'm like, what are you talking about? Do you watch the Titans? The Titans need Dean Pease back. So, again, if Dean Pease goes somewhere else, I'm not going to be mad at Dean. I'm going to be mad at the Titans for one of those two reasons, that Dean is not back. I cannot believe, and I agree with most of you, that Mike Vrabel is very stubborn. I think Vrabel is stubborn. I think Vrabel, you know, he always does everything in the best interest of the team, but what he thinks is in the best interest of the team, what I think is in the best interest of the team, is not always the same thing. But if they choose not to bring Dean Pease back, I mean, then they're just crazy. 615-737-1025. The Predators had a nice little start to their season, and now they're in COVID purgatory for a couple of days as they had a game canceled against Carolina, who's now got their own COVID issues. They're getting ready to play Dallas this weekend, who has their own COVID issues as well. Adam Vingan from The Athletic in studio with us. That is next. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game.